You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Saturday's action on this edition. A really good Saturday as well. Clarence House Chase Day at Ascot. It's also Peter Marsh Chase Day over at Haydock. Four Grade 2s on that card as well. Taunton completes the jumping throughout the afternoon. We also have all-weather racing at Lingfield. An evening action at Chelmsford City as well. Plenty to get stuck into. Join us on Racing Radio. It'll be myself, Mark Walton, with Kevin O'Malley and James Millman on air from 12:10 PM. So do join us. Right now, though, I'm joined in the studio by Tom Morley, who's going to look ahead to the best of the action for us. How the devil are you, Tom?
I'm very well.
Very well.
Yep. I'm in good form at the moment.
Good, good.
I usually leave here, though, with some sort of illness, because there's usually people ill around and about this office, but...
Yeah, just to avoid it so far.
Yes.
Good.
Touch wood.
Well, I've had a headache for 5 days, so don't sit too close.
Oh, great.
Nah, I'm fine. I'm
and I picked up your headset first.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you've breathed on that.
No, I'm actually fine. It's okay. I'm just winding you up. I'm going to make you a little bit nervous, though, for the rest of the day. good racing this weekend. I know you're more of an all-weather and a flat man than...
But that's all right, because there's two of those meetings for me. But yes, you're not talking about them.
But superb jumping this weekend. Do you not ever look at the jumps when you see good horses like this and think, do you know what? It's not that bad.
I won't actually watch anything because I'll be at football again tomorrow. So, yeah. But no, I do look through the paper and look at the jumps races as well, and especially before I'm up here.
Yes, of course.
Of course.
Very good.
But no, I would rather the flat in general. But no, there's two types of the game, isn't there? So
there is. No surprise, listeners, therefore, that Tom's nap and his next best do actually both come on the all-weather on Saturday afternoon. But I want to talk about the big jumps races that are happening before we get stuck into Tom's best bets. The big race at Ascot is the Clarence House Chase, the 335. We've got an interesting renewal this year because some real top-class horses have won this race in the past. You look through the roll of honour, you've got the likes of Sprinter Sakura, who won it in 2013. Mastermind won it a couple of times. He won it in 2009 and 2011. You got far enough back, you've got the likes of Well Chief. If you go all the way back to 1969, the Great Desert Orchid even won this race as a 10-year-old. Under Sir, bidding to become the first horse, though, out of all of those greats, to win it three times. And he would actually be the first 10-year-old to win it since Desert Orchid all the way back in 1989. So I think I said 69 a minute ago, but 1989, of course, would be correct.
Desert Orchid would have done well.
He would, wouldn't he?
Yeah. I was thinking, God, I'm old. I remember that horse.
Is the 4-7 favourite to win it again, Under Sir. He has actually won it by high five margins as well, listeners, if you fancy a high five punt on Saturday afternoon. He takes on a novice in the shape of Brain Power. Interesting move from Nicky Henderson to send Brain Power to take on a proven Grade 1 performer.
Absolutely.
Multiple Grade 1 winner, in fact.
Because Under So, I mean, it's just top class, isn't it? Won it the last 2 years. He said conditions were ideal. Reappearance was a good reappearance. There's no obvious chink in why Under So should underperform. Mm-hmm. And I did read about connections saying, if anything, this was their... I say, as much as Cheltenham's great and all this, this was the name for theirs for this horse to win it for the third time running. So, you know, this has been a long-term aim as far as this season goes anyway. In Brain Power, I guess it's a question of you should never be scared of one horse, because one horse can always underperform. And Brain Power is obviously a very highly class hurdler. Won at Kempton on Chase debut in a race that was always likely to win. Departed at Sandown, probably would have been second that day. Made the running. I don't think there'll be any need, obviously, to make the running with Under So in the race. So presumably will stalk Under So. But basically, quite clearly, more is needed than what we've seen, certainly from Brain Power, over the larger obstacles, and Under So will be a huge test for him. But fair enough for taking it on, and you know, even if Brain Power comes a good second, it's going to be a good performance.
Yeah.
And looking at the rest of the field, I mean, Carmore Lock, 1-5 from 11, changed trainers, but ran no sort of race at Cheltenham in November. Was favourite that day, so clearly more was expected, but was keen, and then made a bad error at the water jump, which I think knocked the, well, ruined any chance, knocked the stuffing out of him, if you like. I reckon we're going to see a much better performance from that horse here. The other two, San Benedetto, decent horse in its own right, but not the top, top class, and I can't see that getting to under so. And then you've got the it's an interesting horse, this Spear Deck, however you'd like to pronounce it, but you know, it's been in blinding form, but we're tackling totally different opposition here. You know, it's a leap of faith to be thinking that that can, you know, get first or second, I would have thought, but nevertheless, hats off to them for giving it a go. At the end of the day, there's only five runners, could put up a pretty good performance and take some nice money home. But, you know, I couldn't look anywhere other than Underso.
Yeah. Underso then could set a little bit of racing history on Saturday afternoon. And if you do fancy Brian Powell, by the way, for the Arkle, that's his target at the Cheltenham Festival, it might be a good idea to back him, if you fancy him to run well on Saturday, back him before the race for the Arkle, because he's 10-1 at the moment. If he gets anywhere near Underso, doesn't even need to beat him, I think we'll see a shortening of that,
yeah,
that 10-1. And, of course, non-runner insurance means you could back it before the race if anything were to hamper his passage to Cheltenham in the race and he doesn't make it to the festival. You do get your money back thanks to non-runner insurance here at William Hill. That's the big race at Ascot then. We've also got some pretty good racing over at Haydock, including a champion hurdle trial where the new one bids to win that for a fourth year in succession. His main rival looks like Chittabello, but he beat him in the international hurdle on similar terms, well, the same terms, and yeah, can't really see that.
Can't really see why the new one can't nail that again, can you?
So we don't really need to go into all much,
no,
much
no
detail. That'd be good to see.
Can call, it the new one champion hurdle trial, really, yeah, in recent years.
It should be called the new one will win this race, but never a champion hurdle trial. it's a champion hurdle trial in all. Well, only in name, really. If you look at that lineup, I can't see any of those going on to win the champion hurdle, but a good race in its own right. Grade 2 contest, £42,000 to the winner, so it'd be worth watching. And it would be nice to see the new one get back in the winner's enclosure because he's a grand old performer, but much more competitive at Haydock, the Peter Marsh Chase. A handicap chase over the extended 3 miles and one furlong. It's going to be on pretty testing ground. It's going to take some getting. At the moment, at the time of recording this, Tintern Theatre is the 11-2 favourite. 6-1 for Rock the Casbah. All the money at the moment seems to be for Hainan, who's 15-2 into 13-2. 7-1 for Walk in the Mill. Yala Enki is 15-2. 8-1 for Captain Redbeard. And 10-1 are bigger prices for the others, as the betting suggests there. 11
very
to
open.
The field, very open, yeah.
And probably more competitive than perhaps people might have, you know, more runners for a start, and more competitive than is often the case in this type of race. And I think there's going to be quite a lot of pace on. There's several horses that like to get on with it as well. So don't think there's going to be any slowly run race here, which I don't know if that will work in the favour of some. As you say, it's going to be a thorough test. I mean, we're presuming Haydock will be on. You never know, do you, with that track? It gets bottomless in the summer, let alone at this time of year. And, yeah, you could give a chance to no end of horses. Several horses have won last time out, Hainan being one of them. And clearly, as you said, there's money for that one. It's gone up £8 for its last victory. It should be competitive again, and that is one that does like to get on with it up the front. Tintern Theatre, who's favourite at the moment, is £4 higher after winning last time out. I think there's some improvement to come there. Forest Des Aigles looking for a four-timer down at the bottom of the weights, up £8 from the last one, and this is a tougher grade than perhaps what he's been running against. Another horse like Yala Enki is going to have conditions in its favour. It's very, very open. In the end, I mean, Walk in the Mill would have a chance if it can stay. I'm going to go with Rock the Casbah, though. Thorough stare. And did win last time out, along with many of these. This horse won at Chepstow. It was a little bit over 3 miles there. £7 rise for that. I think everything is in its favour to grind out a fairly, I think it might be a bit of slow motion in the end, but Rock the Casbah is just where I'm leaning to, though. I mean, as the betting shows, certainly there's seven or eight that would have great shouts in it. And you probably, I'm not saying I think, but Zig or Carol's Detrio or some of the longer price ones, they would surprise me a bit if they popped up. But yeah, a very open competitive race.
Mm. I'd be hoping for a better run from Carlos Destrier, because finished second in Hennessy, didn't he, last year. I struggled a little bit this term, but he does tend to need a bit of racing to get going. So perhaps this will be the day that he bounces back to some kind of form. And you mentioned Rock the Casbah there.
That's who I like.
He was fancied, well, there's a lot of talk about him for the Welsh Grand National, but Philip Hobbs's horses at the time weren't
doing particularly well. Yeah.
He didn't actually go to the race. If they thought he was good enough to win a Welsh National or run well in a Welsh National, he should be running well here as well. So.
Certainly. And, you know, it was probably a grueling time last time, but he's had nearly 3 months off, over 3 months off, in fact, Rock the Casbah. So, you know, a fresh horse coming into this.
So we've got that to look forward to at the weekend. Both Ascot and Haydock are high five meetings here at William Hill as well. So any race on those two cards with six or more runners, if you find a winner that goes on to score by five or more lengths, not only you get paid out on your winner, you get 15% on top of those winnings as a free bet as well. That's high five here at William Hill. And we see it this time of year, particularly at Haydock and such, when the ground gets really testing, those winning margins can be exaggerated. So it could be a good day for high five. We're going to go to Lingfield, though, for Tom's selections. Well, first of his selections. It's in the first race of the day as well, getting it out nice and early. One of the strong fancies. The 12:20 is the race in question. Class 4 handicap over a mile. We've got 9 of them set to go to post for this one. Is this the nap or the next best, this race?
I've decided it's going to be the nap.
The nap?
Yeah. Get it out of the way early.
Which one is it?
It's going to be Mr. Bossy Boots, who's not won since June 2016, which in fact his final run for the previous yard, but did run some decent races in the latter part of that year for this yard, then lost his way a bit. Handicap has finally relented. Been running mainly over 7 furlongs. I think the extra furlong here will help. A third earlier in the week, in fact, behind the well-backed Sword Exceed. Massive step back in the right direction. Previous form figures, I don't think are as bad as they indicate as well for this horse, having no luck in running at times, and was stuck on the outside at Chelmsford when he raced there. Good record in this class too. So I think Mr. Bossy Boots is getting now to the mark where he really should pop up. I guess there's possibly a couple of little fly in the ointment as far as the opposition goes. So the first one being Chester Street. It'll be interesting to see what the market makes of Chester Street, because only had 12 runs and is a five-year-old. So that alone tells a story. Latter months of 2016, won twice at Chelmsford, looked to be going places. Hardly seen the track since. Only remotely recent run. Was a decent fourth at Kempton, where he was a bit fresh, but still did well. But then again, why has he been off since? You know, clearly could be a danger, but you've got to have some question marks over what he's been up to a lot of this time, or what the issue is.
Yeah.
The market will be indicative, I'm sure. But so there's one fly in the ointment. I mean, looking down at the rest, Pearl Scepter gets the cheek pieces on for the first time, finished behind Mr. Bossy Boots last time, just looks a bit exposed at present. Kadritzi is on the slide and they're trying a new trip, which I'm not sure he'll stay. Gothic Empire drops back to a more suitable trip after two runs over further for this yard and did catch the eye of the stewards last time, so that's an interesting contender. Intense Style may need this, has been off for a couple of months, but had shown some decent form, so maybe, you know, as we look ahead to the future weeks, Intense Style will be one to watch. Bristol Missile dropped in trip, blinkered first time, but not great on the all-weather last time. Briuni, 20 grand purchase at Tattersalls in October. Generally poor last season for Kevin Ryan. Could bounce back for New Yard at some point, but again, been off since September, so maybe not on this occasion. And Krebs Cycle, all its best forms over a furlong shorter. So I think Mr. Bossy Boots, now down to a decent mark, after handicappers, you know, been a little bit kinder to the horse, is ready to win.
Okay. Best bet on the day then for our pundit Tom Morley there, Mr. Bossy Boots, the nap selection in the 12:20 at Lingfield. We then head to Chelmsford City for the first race on their card. This is an apprentice handicap over 5 furlongs, a field of 9 set to go to post for this one. This therefore would be the next best on the day, so the second best bet for Tom. What made you pick this race? What do you like in there?
It wasn't just because it was the first race and I couldn't be bothered to look at the rest.
Yeah, I don't believe you.
I'm going to go for the old lad, Swendab, who has ended 2017 in great fettle. Always been a horse who, when he hits the form, does tend to stay in it for a while as well. Won 3 out of the last 4. All those victories have, however, come at Wolverhampton. Other run was at this track, was a second place behind my horse, Bohemian Heights. No disgrace, obviously. It's now back up to 67, which is a little bit of a test for this horse, I accept that. But in such good form, likes to be at the front and is drawn 8 as well. But we've seen this horse overcome high draws in those amongst those victories. Fast acting 6 could try and take him on a bit. But, you know, sprinters, even veteran ones, they're often best kept on side when they're in blinding form. As I've said already, you know, this horse does keep his form well. He's actually declared again on Sunday. So he may be coming for a quick run out again. If he wins, he might depend how far he's won by, because they wouldn't probably want him run him under a penalty. But I think Swendab is poised to go well again. And looking at the opposition, Berry Esser did win twice last year, but both runs here have been below the best. Zippity Doodah seems to have gone off the boil. Entertaining Ben, I think, is handicapped to the hilt now after winning a couple last year. Fast Act, Mark's been tumbling. Odd Decent Run, Dundalk last time under a capable claimer was not bad. I think he may be the one that may go forward with Swendab, but it's been a while since he won. Awesome Allen gets a visor. Good draw, but just not been in great form. Never run here. I think that one needs a pace collapse. San Fran Skips Go, wide draw, not in the best form, and needs a pace collapse because it's held up. Go Charlie's out of the handicap, and just one from 44 tells its story. Red Stripes is an interesting horse. Did win here back in September. Swendab was, in fact, second that day. Optimum draw, and another one likely to make a bold shout from the front. But he doesn't win very often, and that win was... I know September seems a long time ago, but this horse doesn't win very often, so it's quite recent for him. And he did give, when Swendab was second to Bahamian Heights, this horse came third. So I think Swendab should still have the measure even on the new terms. Mm. So I think Swendab's well poised to notch up another victory.
He's ridden by Ross Orion, who's always catching a lot of people's eyes at the moment. He's operating at a 40% strike rate this week, which is no mean feat.
Which is not bad at all.
Very good indeed.
Probably shouldn't ride for the rest of the week. Keep that. Don't ruin the figures.
And don't know if you've ever noticed, but Swendab, backwards, bad news.
I had never noticed that.
There you go. You learn something new every day.
Yeah.
So Swendab, the next best then for Tom. That's in the 6:15 at Chelmsford City. And the Knapp comes in the 12:20 rather, at Lingfield, in the shape of Mr. Bossy Boots. Good luck with those. Thank you very
much,
Tom. Been a pleasure as always, and enjoy the action on Saturday.
Thank you very much.
There you go. Tom Morley looking ahead to Saturday's action for us. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:10 PM. I'll be in the studio, Mark Walton, with Kevin O'Malley and James Millman. Real good day of racing to look forward to as well. Good jumping at Ascot and Haydock, accompanied by Taunton over the obstacles as well. All weather racing, if that's your thing, from Lingfield in the afternoon, and Chelmsford City throughout the night. So plenty throughout the day. Do join us for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.